This pilot has come in too high and hot. If you should ever find yourself in this position, with too much speed or height, you land in the first quarter of the runway, pour on the coal and boot it out of there.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Ping. This is episode number
89.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
You knew.
I know. Yeah, I've been watching them all.
That's not true at all. Though I imagine you probably watched one or two episodes that you were in. But for our longtime viewers, this is another installment of Boys Without Foys. For those of you that are just watching for the first time, normally we have a co-host, Laura Foy, that helps us talk about all the things that Microsofties are pinging each other about and buzzing about.
Uh-huh.
Ha-ha, good pinging. Times. But now we have a special co-host here in the studio today, Adam, as Laura is off in the Netherlands or Netherworld or wherever she is.
The Netherworld.
Yep, but very special episode, not only because Adam's here, but we also have a guest PM from the OneNote team joining us. So it's going to be a nice, good Midwestern reunion from the three of us, Adam being from Chicago and Dan and I having gone to University of Michigan. This will be a fantastic episode.
Big 10 all the way.
Yeah, so Happy New Year, Adam.
Happy New Year to you.
What's been going on in 2011 for you? Anything special?
I don't know. A lot of work.
Yeah?
Yeah, working on the new System Center, the updated System Center Atlanta releases.
That's
coming
right.
In the future.
Microsoft Codename Atlanta.
Codename Atlanta.
Due out in the next, this first half, and we'll have some special updates when the time is right for that. But for right now, let's get the show started.
Here we go.
All right, so last episode, Laura and I were talking about all the great Christmas gifts that we got over the holiday season, and she got a car, I got a tie. Did you get anything special, Adam?
Right in the middle between car and tie, I got a Kinect.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who got that for you?
Myself.
Yeah, very nice.
It was a present to myself.
That's because Santa knew he'd been a bad boy, and he needed to get something other than coal for himself. But anyway, what are your favorite things to do on the Kinect?
Kinect Sports.
Yeah?
It is fun.
What games are on that?
I have no idea. Track and field. You can have running and javelin throwing and discus throwing and
volleyball.
Long jump.
Uh-huh.
There is volleyball. There's like some not full soccer, I don't think. But
you fly a helicopter?
I can't, but a Kinect can.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Did you read the article? There was an article about someone made a motorized helicopter that uses a Kinect mounted on the helicopter. And it uses all the sensors to maintain a constant altitude and fly, avoiding obstacles.
That's awesome, because whenever I played with like those little toy helicopters, I constantly just like ram it into the ceiling, and then it falls onto the floor and breaks into like 1,000 pieces.
I'm scared because I think Kinect is becoming Skynet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The Kinect...
the Kinect is the beginning of Skynet.
Yeah, so there's so many people think that these huge data centers that can like do all this crazy data analysis is Skynet. No, the Kinect... apparently is
the Kinect's the interface.
Yeah. Well, Skynet seems to have evil undertones. Kinect can also be used.
Wasn't the beginning of Skynet supposed to be great? And
I am actually not.
You're
too
not a Terminator.
Familiar.
You're not a Terminator.
Yeah, with all the Terminator stuff. I've seen them. I haven't researched them enough for the show, apparently. So, Niners, feel free to comment on the
lack of Terminator knowledge.
Yes, or we can just terminate that altogether and go on to this next piece of Kinect tidbit. Apparently, the University of Washington is using the Kinect sensor to assist with surgeries. So after your Kinect flying helicopter like tries to take off a limb, maybe you can go to the University of Washington where they can try and use
reattach
that Kinect.
It remotely with
that's
a Kinect.
Right. Well, they're actually trying to use the depth sensor in the Kinect to be able to give surgeons like a touch feedback when it's getting like really close to bones and things. So it'll be a sensor that goes in there, and I don't know if they put on special gloves or something. But then it will use that to actually give you some vibration feedback, almost like you're playing an operation game, where it's like, touch the sides.
Maybe it has a huge noise.
Yeah, maybe.
Really loud in the operating room.
But I think it's pretty cool how a lot of these...
There's a lot of uses for Kinect.
Yeah, like the whole community out there is taking... Like, people are always using the term that the Kinect is hacked.
Hacked? I don't know if anyone used a screwdriver and cracked the thing open as much as
right. They
plugged it in and just started talking to it over
USB.
Yeah,
so there's definitely a difference between, like, reading the data out of the device and actually trying to, like, hack the device and change the underlying things. But I think...
Or do illegal things with it.
Right. Yeah, there are definitely things that Microsoft will not condone, and then like other things that it seems like it's an interesting space for us to keep an eye on. So if you guys do anything cool with the Kinect, post it in the comments, and maybe we can even show it on the show.
Maybe.
All right, here in the Ping studio, we have a program manager from the Microsoft OneNote team. This is Dan Escapa. Escapa?
Yes.
How do you pronounce your last name?
It's Escapa.
Escapa. Okay. And what's your email address so everyone can email you?
Don't tell them that.
So I asked the Niners on our Facebook page last night that what should we ask of a person from the OneNote team, and everyone wants to know about the new iPhone app.
Oh, yes. Well, just past Tuesday, we released an application in the U.S. App Store for the OneNote for iPhone. It's available right now. We've had tons of people downloading it. It's been really awesome to have people being able to use OneNote on other devices besides just the Windows Phone.
So we're really committed to building something on the iPhone.
Exactly, yeah.
I know that you've been an iPhone addict for a while now, and you've really wanted to probably get this out for quite some time, right?
We did, yes. Our customers are using OneNote quite heavily, and we found many people had mobile devices, so we make sure we have a solution for them on their Windows Phone 7. It's also on the iPhone. For me, I have both phones, but not everyone gets the chance to play with as many toys. So.
Yeah. So now with the Windows Phone, does that come pre-bundled with the phone itself?
Exactly.
So like it's the
out-of-the-box
experience.
Everyone that has Windows Phone 7 has OneNote for their phone.
Very cool. And that can sync across everything.
Correct. It syncs to SkyDrive. That's the main thing we want for regular consumers, just to sync to the cloud, and also syncs to SharePoint for a little bit more corporate stuff. The iPhone version syncs just to SkyDrive. You know, we consider it just a consumer situation, just going directly to SkyDrive.
Okay, so Andrew Richards on our Ping Facebook page said, what's the best way to keep OneNote file synchronized across multiple desktops, like work, home, laptop? I know that's not necessarily like the iPhone-related thing, but I'm sure it's a very common question.
Yeah, people are asking for that quite often. So what I would recommend for Andrew there is to use SkyDrive. So if you go to office.live.com, you can sign in. You get 25 gigs of free storage up in the cloud. You can put a bunch of different file types, and we use the Office web apps. And in particular, you can store your OneNote files up there, view them in the browser. So no matter where you are, if you're in the library, don't have your computer, you can use them right there.
Oh, very cool.
Works on your phone and your desktop.
Okay, so like if I'm like taking notes here about our interview on Ping, and I store this to SkyDrive, and if for some reason I get an iPhone and I download the OneNote app, I can just sync all that same stuff.
Just type in your name and you're good to go.
Is there any content in there that won't get synced to the phone, like audio recordings or anything like that?
So the first version, the 1.0, we don't have the ability to do the embedded files or sometimes like audio notes or video recordings and things like that. So mainly it's about list and to-do marks and recalling your notes and things like that. And so we're going to be adding more in the future.
Very cool. So if someone gets this app, will they then be able to get those updates down the line? Or?
Yes. So on the App Store, when you buy the application or download it, you get free updates for life unless we change the product. So actually, that's one thing I want to point out. It's free for a limited time right now.
Oh, okay.
So you might want to hurry up and download it now during the introductory period, and you get free updates in the future.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So this is mainly used for like grocery lists, where you can do like your little to-do list, the check marks, things like that. Now, is this going to be coming out for like Mac OS X or iPad or anything like that?
We don't have any, thing. Obviously the iPhone version works on your iPad. It's not a binary that's optimized for the iPad, but it still works. I use it on my iPad, and it works. We don't have an optimized version right now. And on my Mac, I actually just use the web apps I was referring to earlier.
Okay, so you can just pop open in Safari.
Exactly. Yep, I open up Safari or Firefox, and you can just go ahead and make your edits right there in the browser. And that's what I use on my Mac when I don't have my PC.
Very cool. So now we have this across the iPhone. We have it on the Windows Phone. You can can use the same thing on the iPad. Mac OS X, you can use the browser version. Mm-hmm. And, of course, across all the great Windows PCs out there, you can use like the full client or the browser version there, too. So this is some pretty cool stuff. Mm-hmm. A couple random questions about OneNote. What are some of your favorite shortcut keys that you don't think people know about?
See, Paul and I like keyboard shortcuts, and I think maybe some of the audience does, too. One of the favorites I like is you can hit Windows key S, and what that does is allow you to take a screen clipping of anything you have on your screen. So you just hit this key combo, and you can put it on the clipboard, and you can paste it in. For us as developers and stuff, we can log bugs pretty easily like that. So I don't know, what other keyboard shortcuts do I really like? What do you like, Paul?
I like Control M.
Oh, for yes, that's a trick.
What does that one do?
So Control M opens up a new window. Most people use only one window at a time and they click between things, but you can actually hit Control M, pop two windows. You can do the new snap feature on Windows 7 and snap them side by side
and
see your notes.
That's
exactly what I do. Yeah. So Control M's a good one too.
And F11?
Uh-huh.
What do you know through that window?
I feel like I'm being quizzed.
It
here.
Is. I want to make
good.
Sure that you've spent the last few years.
So F11 is full screen. So I actually use full screen. You hit F11, just like Visual Studio or other applications, you hit F11 to toggle. What you can do is you have the full screen with none of the UI, the Chrome, just a page. I use it a lot when I'm on my tablet, and I can just handwrite, and it feels just like I have a piece of paper in front of me.
Yep, so those are the two big ones that
okay,
I do.
That's good. I'm glad I passed the test.
Yeah, so you were two for two in my little tough quizzes, so is there anything else cool about OneNote that we should talk about today? Anything aside from the iPhone app? Or
I think we're pretty excited about the iPhone app because it shows that Office is on other platforms and besides just the Windows Phone. So it's our first entry on Office into the iOS, and we're very excited about that. Obviously, Office is and OneNote has been really popular, the 2010 release. So the only thing I would say to people is go sync your stuff in the cloud, and I think that's the most exciting thing that we have for
very cool.
right now.
Yeah, I know. I've been using the SkyDrive syncing for a few months now, and I absolutely love it. I love being able to have my notes everywhere, work, home, and once I finally get my Verizon Windows Phone 7 phone, I will hopefully be able to sync it there as well.
Yep.
So thanks a lot, Dan. I wish we can have you back next time we have a great OneNote release.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. All right, that was an interesting OneNote segment, don't you think, Adam?
It was awesome.
Yeah, so good times there.
You're taking notes right now.
I should be. One thing that I do like about OneNote is that it helps me with misspelled words.
Absolutely, just like Word.
Just like Word.
And Excel.
And search engines.
Like
so Microsoft Research actually is looking to improve that technology so that...
Did you mean?
Right. It's like
I did mean that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I did mean that. There's this challenge though, where they're saying that programmers out there can submit a REST-based web service.
Yep.
Where it accepts in an entry and then it provides all of the alternative
spelling
alternative suggestions. So a couple things here. What is a REST-based web service?
It is a web service that is. It's a web service.
Oh, okay. So think like one step removed from a developer. Like,
okay.
Help me understand that. Is this like an XML?
Sure. It looks like, you'd access it through the entry bar at the top of Internet Explorer through a long path or a long string, and you can pass parameters to the web service that it performs some action and returns a result back.
Okay. So how is this different than SOAP?
It's a different format with less overhead.
I see. Very cool.
Yeah.
Do we use REST-based things in Microsoft Codename Atlanta?
We do.
Very nice.
Yes.
So are you going to take part in this challenge?
I probably not.
Probably not.
Maybe now that. Maybe now though.
Do you think it'd be
now
funny?
Now you've called me out.
Do you think it'd be interesting to put in just a completely joke-based?
I do. I think it'd be great. So they pass me whatever word they pass me. I would just say. Wrong spelling.
Yeah, or something that antagonizes them. I think it would be great.
Try again.
Yeah. Did you mean you shouldn't be on the internet?
No whammies.
Yeah. Big money, big money, big money. Stop. Whammy. Those are the five results that you would return.
For all words.
Yeah, I think it'd
I be... may submit that and see what they say.
Yeah.
What if it just converted the word they gave me to Pig Latin all the time? The only alternative was the Pig Latin word of that.
Yeah, did you mean Igpe Atenlay?
I did.
So if you are serious about joining this contest, the first place gets $10,000 cash. And there's also...
Not a bad deal.
Second through fifth place gets a little bit less money. So total prize money is $30,000, and I think it's worth a shot. So if you guys are interested in making a REST-based web service that can help people really find out, you know, what they're looking for...
It's help spelling, really.
Yeah. Yeah, spell check is pretty cool. Actually, my commencement address at the University of Michigan.
You graduated?
I did graduate, surprisingly.
Who messed up there?
Was one of the guys who originally invented technologies that eventually led to spell check. And then
it's a long chain.
Yeah, yeah. And then the next year, I think Bill Clinton spoke. So clearly University of Michigan stepped up their game after I left.
Some could argue that point.
Yes. Did you mean no? Next. All right, and that's the show that we have. That was Ping 89, Boys Without Foys.
Thanks for having me back, Paul.
Yeah, I'm always happy to walk over here from my building with you know, with somebody.
With someone else instead of by yourself.
Yes.
It's amazing.
But in my free time, I have been trying to catch up on the Harry Potter books. So what we
Everybody uses their time differently.
Yeah, that's right. Some people hack the Kinect. Others, you know, try and write
spell check.
Others, you know, make iPhone apps with OneNote.
Paul reads Harry Potter.
Yes. So we're actually going to try and see how well we're able to use this technology to go invisible. So
we're
going to
make a cloak of invisibility.
We will see you guys
later.
But you may not see us.